Mayor Pat Rafferty on line one. Mayor, always good to have you on the program. How are you, good sir?
I'm doing well today. I'd like to turn the clock back a day, or well, I shouldn't say that now as we move the clock ahead, but it'd be nice to have a little bit warmer weather like we had over the weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have been pretty outspoken. My hatred for springing ahead and the havoc that it plays on my body. How do you seem to handle it okay, or are you kind of dragging for 2 or 3 days afterwards?
I'm kind of dragging. Both time changes, it seems like the one on the fall back hits me a little bit harder, but I don't really care for either one of them.
Amen to that. So I guess we'll do what we always do. I guess I'll save my questions for the end, if that's okay.
Yep, that'd be just fine. Melbank City Council met last night in a regular monthly session. Had a pretty good sized agenda, different items to discuss. On our consent agenda, we have had a bills list, the amount of $555,507. Last night, we approved a combined election agreement with Grant County and the Melbank School District. Approved advertising for alcohol license requests from the Melbank Area Chamber for their summer events. Approved an agreement with the South Dakota DOT for some work out at the airport. And then we amended our agreement for the airport fixed base operator between the city and Shade Valley Farms. And our action items, we had a public hearing for Ordinance 866, which amends the chapter of our code as it pertains to signage within the city, the size of sign, the permitting required, electronic message boards, all of those items as they relate to signs. That did pass. We'll have a second reading at our next meeting. We passed a resolution pertaining to the Planning and Zoning Commission for pay. They were paid $25 per meeting, and we changed that to $30 per meeting, so they had a little increase in their pay. We approved Resolution 3-926A, which is update to our Chapter 10.20 Traffic Control Devices and Signals, where we added some signage around town and removed some signage. So there was be a few changes there. We passed Resolution 3-9-29B, which is an update of our master fee schedule. If you want to rent something from the city, or it just sets the structure for fees, and it's anything from a copy. If you go in the city office, request a copy of something, all the way up to if you want them to, the street sweeper guys to come over and run through your private parking lot, rent a picnic shelter, rent the visitor center, anything that the city would, or that you would need a permit to do, then that fee structure covers that. That passed. And then we approved the special event permit for the 30th anniversary of the Melbank Show and Swap Meet. That's the annual snowmobile swap meet held out at Lake Farley, June 4th to the 6th. This year being the 30th anniversary, so that's kind of a neat deal there. And then we had a kind of a lengthy discussion about the City of Melbank Emerald Ash Borer Mitigation Plan. City Administrator Pendergrass has spent a lot of time, and we've been working with some folks down at SDSU about a plan to treat the emerald ash borer, treat the ash trees to prevent total loss of our ash trees. And council approved the mitigation plan, which is a 6-year plan, and it involves treatment of about 50% of the trees and then cutting about 50% of the trees. And the city's going to start on that this summer. We'll call for bids on both of those, but A lot of background work's been done. There's some maps out there that show the number of trees that need to come down, and I believe the city's number was just about 1,900 with all the trees in the parks and the cemetery. So over the next 6 to 7 years, we'll be treating and removing. You know, we'll just have to judge each individual one and see how it is, if it's worth trying to treat, and then go from there. There is some hope that if the city gets a good competitive bid on the treatment of trees, that the community will be able to use that bid as well. So the more we do, the more we treat, the higher volume it is, then maybe we can drive the price down on it, so there'll be more people that are interested in doing it. So more to come on that. We want to have action on it by our next meeting in April. So we'll see more to come there. But it's time for people to start thinking about what they want to do with their ash trees, whether they be in their backyard or out on the boulevard. We've got kind of a plan, and there's a meeting tonight, I believe at 6 o'clock at the visitor center, and they'll have one of those every 2 weeks for the next month, so people have a chance to come in and hear the presentation and make a decision on what's best for them for their trees. Talked about that quite a bit over the last few months, and now it's time we're getting into the action phase. Then we had department reports. We got an update on the water stuff. Park and Rec Director Boyd gave a report on Unity and what's going on in the parks. Then the council had an executive session after that, which is a closed section, closed to the public. We do those for legal and personnel reasons, stuff that we don't want to discuss. After we came out of executive session, there were two motions made. One was to rescind the council's action to apply for water rights at Antelope Valley. When we were in the early stages of our water plan, we were looking for additional higher quality water sources, and the Antelope Valley area is up kind of northeast of South Shore, quite a ways away from Malbate, but there was available water there. It came down to whether it was cost effective for us to do that, and the council chose not to pursue that, so we had to rescind our request for rights from the state. And then council asked City Administrator Pendergrass to put together an RFP, a request for proposals. Our city attorney, Mark Reedstrom, is retiring in May. Done an awesome job for us, but now we need to replace him. So we're putting out an RFP for proposals from different attorneys, and council will review those and hopefully make a selection mid-April so we can get that person on board while Mark is still here and do a little a good transition from his work to the new attorney's work. So, and that pretty much covered it.
Always a plethora of goodness going on at the city council meeting.
That's one word you could use.
Yes, plethora of goodness. So, you know, I guess we start off with the snow that we had this past weekend. Is it kind of like, from the city's point of view, do you look at the temperature and go, yeah, we're going to have to move it, but I really wish we wouldn't because it's just going to melt anyway?
Yeah, that was a good summation of it. It's like we want to get it off. The one thing about it was that wet snow, and then it packs, and then it gets icy, and then it takes a little bit longer for it to go away. But, we want to get it off. We know it's going to melt in a couple days. And the other part of it is when there's not that much snow and it's been warmer, it's hard on equipment and hard on the streets. So we kind of let the guys make that decision. And And, you know, this time it was fortunate where it warmed up nice and it went away fairly quick. But, yeah, those are the kind of iffy ones this time of year. There's a lot of, it's not just plow the snow. There's a lot of other thought that goes into the decision making when it's time to go and what to do.
Yeah, and you know, it's, you know, May, the or March the 10th. But, yeah, it looks like it could be an active week, so. I know you're not putting away the snow equipment just yet.
No, I was actually, I'll probably catch heck for this, but yesterday I was driving around and Garrett and Layton, our two parks guys, were driving along the highway pulling up the stakes, the sidewalk marker stakes, and I'm like, that's probably not a good thing to do. We're tempting Mother Nature. You know, we put those out so when we plow sidewalks and stuff, we can stay on the sidewalk and just indicators. And it's like, we're just asking for the snow to come now that we've done that, but that's all right.
So let's get into a couple questions that I have as far as the getting into the trees and the emerald ash borer. Let's get into that. How long a process is that going to be trying to identify every single tree? I would imagine that's a long process.
It is, but the technology is really something that they're able to fly over with a drone over the community and do a mapping. And there's evidently an identifier in the canopy of the trees where they can tell if they've had an infestation or not. How that all works, I have no idea, but there was a couple maps last night that Steve had in the presentation that show where all the trees are located on public property. We haven't, I didn't see a map for like all the residential ones, but all the boulevards and all the park areas, there were little blue dots for every tree that were out there. So it's, that's a great question because I don't know. And my concern with that was how do we track what we've done when we do treatment? If we're going to be treating over the next 6 to 7 years, and which is going to be, you know, 450 trees, who tracks that and how do we monitor it? And do we treat one? And if it works, do we need to go back or do we? What happens if it needs to be cut down? And it's just a big monumental task. And it's not like the Dutch elm, you know, when we had Dutch elm disease years and years ago, or they just came in and clear cut and took everything down. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how it all washes out. You know, there's going to be some folks that aren't going to be able to take their trees down or get them treated. And that's going to be a problem as well. So I don't know how it's all going to wash out.
I guess the question that I have, not being a tree expert, is how is it determined whether the tree gets taken down or if you can treat it? Does it kind of depend on the infestation level?
That's a good question, and I can't answer it.
You could just make something up. Not
necessarily. I get in trouble when I do that, when I start to wing it. Because there's always somebody, everybody's favorite phrase is, well, the mayor said.
Right, yeah, I can imagine. So,
the mayor's not going to say on how that is, you know, and we're going to try and do the 50-50.
I did want to ask about, as we've talked about this before, I know this is a project of yours. You talked about signage. What's the latest on getting some signage taken down? I know we talked a lot about that, getting that stop sign taken down from 10th and 4th. What's the latest on stuff like that?
Yeah, the council did take action on that last night in one of the resolutions, and I want to say, I think there were 9 different items where there are going to be some removals. There were some that covered the new industrial park, and then there were some residential ones. So I don't have the list right in front of me right now, but Yeah, it just enables that. We did have staff, the police department, and street department go around and look at all the proposed changes, and they're all signed off on them that they'd be good to do. So Corey and the street department will be working together, and they'll be getting the adjustments made here within the next week or so.
So when do we start with the, like, spring project? As soon as we're all clear with the snow? I'm thinking, what, July? We should be safe.
Yeah. I hope that you're wrong. We're actually pretty close to going on a lot on some of the stuff. We've got a big street project over on Bell Avenue this year, and they've been out doing some locates already. The Parks and Rec Department has got some projects going on, and I know they've been gathering up some numbers. We've talked to some contractors, and as soon as the weather allows, we want to get started on everything. So, you know, it's typically within the next two, if we can get through the next 2 weeks, then the weather should be all right. You know, it seems like every year we've gotten a decent amount of snow between the 17th and 26th of March, so we'll see what happens. The good news is, Jeff, that that's usually only here for 3 or 4 days, and then it's gone. But we need to get past that, get the ground firmed up a little bit, and then we'll go.
Have we started looking on what a possible cleanup millbank day will be? Do we have that set, and are we going to have that again this year?
Yeah, we'd like to do that, as it's kind of a set thing, and that's usually, I think, the first weekend in May through the second, or the first 2 weeks in May. I think we start the first week and then go through Mother's Day, and but it'd be those 2 weeks. I don't have the specific dates, but yeah, that'll be something we do again.
That's a wonderful thing, just to be able to clear stuff and get stuff ready for the summer season. That's a great, great thing for the city.
It's really nice. You know, we have our property standards rules about, you know, when people get clutter around their house. And since we've been promoting the cleanup millbank, the amount of notifications we have to send out has dropped, and it's really helpful. People take advantage of it, and it keeps our community looking nice.
It certainly does. Mayor, appreciate it as always. Thank you for spending some time with us, and we will talk to you in April. Hopefully we're not talking about snow anymore, or we'll have a really cranky radio host.
There you go. Thank you.